following program is sponsored by House of Prayer.
House of Prayer Ministries continue to bring the message of the unadulterated gospel all over the globe. From the United States to Russia, from Latin America to Europe, we are a church committed to the preservation of biblical principles.
To the House of Prayer in America, you prayed for us. You thank you so much for your prayer.
Anytime out of prayer, pray they are encouraged and blessed. You deposited in us a spirit of evangelism which grew like fire.
You will see us at hospitals, nursing homes, and homeless shelters, at food banks, orphanages, and prisons. We're actively ministering in our communities and everywhere we go. With affiliates across all continents.
This is Levi Newman, reporting live from Jerusalem.
It was just a blessing to be able to be somewhere else and just to be able to witness to people and pray in a different country.
When they first built the church in Mexico, they go out.
And not only Mexico, but Brazil.
There are men and women all throughout El Salvador that long for the missionaries, the brethren, to come back to see them again because they saw something different.
With affiliates across all continents, we faithfully encourage pastors, workers, and congregations in churches and synagogues in many countries.
Every time that he was preaching, he would call me. He said, "Hey, you and your church, I need y'all to pray for me." He didn't have nobody else to pray for him.
We are a church without prejudices. We are a church without boundaries. And we are a church of all nations.
Welcome back to The Witnesses, a broadcast that shows that ordinary people like you and I can make a stand for God and His biblical truths in this modern world. It's not just in the Bible that we find people whose lives are witnesses of God's power. We also find them in public service, the army, and the grocery store. We all can be witnesses. Last week, we began hearing the testimony of EJ, a man that grew up with a military father that was gone so much that as a teenager, EJ had to start being a father to his younger sisters. As he grew older, he saw that same void in many other people, the need for a father to teach life skills, protect them, and instill confidence and character. Whether it was working with troubled youth in a detention center, as an NCO guiding young soldiers in battle in Iraq and Afghanistan, or mentoring young men in his church, EJ saw the same hunger in these young men and boys. They just wanted someone real to care enough to listen and show them the right way. We stopped last week with EJ getting out of the army to help the young men in his church and to be a father to his own children. He began helping with a class for young men, teaching health, life skills, and discipline. This week, we're going to pick up as Carlos and Caleb, two young men that interviewed him, asked him more questions about his work when things didn't go the way he planned.
As a child growing up in House of Prayer, watching your life, I want to know why you never left us to fend for ourselves. You were always there for us, no matter what we did, what we said. You were there to help us, be a shoulder to lean on. What made you stay for us?
Well, to be honest, there was one time, it was a couple of years into it, there was one time that I went to my pastor and I was like, "Sir, why?" He's like, "Why did we put up with this?" He's like, "Why do you put up with this?" I said, "Why do we gotta put up with people that just seemingly spit in your face and seemingly stab you in the back, and you give them everything, and you're doing everything, and it's they just doesn't seem like it's working or they even care. And he stuck out one finger and he said, one. He said, if you can reach one, if we can reach one, then we did good. And I was like, okay. I was like, I'm gonna try to help all of them and just pray that we reach one. And it wasn't easy, you know, because we had different kids with different issues, with different backgrounds, with just different everything. And even you, as a young man, when you would come in from out of town, and it was a blessing to see you, and you would come into my PE class, and we would do some PE, and we'd laugh and joke, and then you would leave, and it's like, oh man, he was talking about me? Man, that's, what did I do to him? Man, I thought I was being cool with him, you know? But I was like, all right, next time he comes back in town, I'm gonna be nicer to him, you know? I don't know. But that wasn't the point of giving up, because, you know, I just had to just do what I was supposed to do, be obedient, do my part, and when the time comes, that one is gonna have to make the choice to follow and serve, or, you know, depart and do whatever they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But at least I did what I was supposed to do.
His training as a soldier prepared him for these new hardships, dealing with immature, insecure, and sometimes insincere boys. But he kept his vision clear and his mission first, to help all those that he could, in all the ways he could, regardless of the outcome. And that's the very definition of biblical charity: love unaffected by what goes on around it. If we want to be like Christ, we can't only love others when they praise us. We have to love at all times, or else is it really love? Let's continue to hear as these young men interview this spiritual soldier.
What kept you motivated to invest in the next generation, despite any setbacks or challenges you faced along the way?
Well, I've had my motivations, and I've had my loss of motivations, so I cannot lie, but when I see my pastor going through it with his congregation, you know, and the ups and downs, I see the people that he pours out all his energy to, and the scriptures is that we shall be hated. He says that, we shall be hated. And I'm like, man, I was like, he just lets it roll off his back like that. And if he can do it, and then we read in the Bible and we get told that it happened to Jesus, and his own disciple, you know, betrayed him. And I was like, if Jesus can do it, my pastor can do it. And I was like, a little old me can do it.
Right.
And I'm just gonna keep on going with it, you know?
Instead of working for Army medals, achievements, or recognition, he realized that working for God meant that he would be misunderstood, accused of things he didn't do, and even hated for trying to help people. But this is scriptural, and all who follow Jesus will be treated the same way he was treated. In order to do good and help a few, we will gain the ire and resentment of many. But love doesn't give because of the outcome. It cannot change. It cannot fail. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 8 says, charity never faileth. That word faileth can be explained like a stream that used to flow and supply the needs of others. But over time, it dries up and fails. If the stream of our love depends upon an exterior source of inspiration, like fickle rain, our stream will sooner or later fail. Our actions of love and care will cease, but if our source is from an internal spring, fed by the knowledge of God's word and a thankful and indebted heart, our stream of charity will never fail. Let's continue to hear as EJ shares his desire to help the young man he's working with.
What impact do you hope to make with the young people you mentor? And how can we as a church come alongside you to support this mission?
The impact? I don't want to say I have a specific goal or anything is goal oriented to me, because I don't, that's not about me, you know? Mm-hmm. I say, but I guess the impact I wanted came true already. Mm. And I prayed that us older guys eventually are gonna have to move out the way. We're gonna have to step aside. And I wanted the same boys that I was raising up and helping, you know, since they were 10, and now they're 19, 24 years old, mm-hmm. to become the next preachers, to become the next teachers, to become everything that they've seen as they were growing up, to be them, and to feel the same way that we felt helping them, so they can better understand, like, man, this is what I put them through, and now I'm feeling it myself, you know? Mm-hmm. And I can say that the same young men that I pray for to become pastors, ministers of, and whatever calling is happening. Now, we did, you know, we lose some, but, you know, a little boy in my PE class, you know, he's a pastor now. And that is it. That was like, that's one.
Right.
You know? And so, and I just got to keep on going. And eventually, some of the younger boys, man, they're going to be the ones. And that's all I can hope for.
Serious.
The Witnesses will return shortly after this message about our 24-hour toll-free teen prayer line. We'll be right back.
Hi, have you ever felt like no one cares about you? Does it feel like no one understands what you're going through? Young people go through a lot, and that's why we have a 24-hour prayer line for you. This is a place you can call anytime and talk with another teen or young adult who cares about you.
If you are a teen or a young adult who wants another teen or young adult to pray with you right now, just call 833-677-7297. That number again is 833-677-7297. Call now and see the difference prayer can make in your life.
Now let's continue as EJ describes working with parents and how they can help their children develop.
EJ, speaking about that, how do the adults in the church or different parents, how can they help the young minds, just like you did and how you mentored them? How can they step up as a community, as a church, as a brother, as a sister, or as a parent?
Yeah, this one's a little difficult here, and I don't want to offend anybody, but it's a lot of the challenges that I've come across in working with the youth are the adults, are the parents. And unfortunately, I've had parents upset because their kid wants to come over to our house and they want to spend more time with us than with them.
Right.
Their parent wants them to read the Bible with them. The parents wants them to pray with them. And then they get upset because then they find out the kid was reading the Bible at your house, but he doesn't read the Bible at my house. And instead of being like, but praise God, the kid's reading the Bible.
Right.
A little jealousy comes in, and then I got to deal with a jealous parent or something, or the parent thinks that I'm trying to steal their kid or something, you know, or the love of their kid. I said, no, that's not what I'm trying to do in any way, shape, or form. And so, yeah, parents, and myself, I had to do the same thing and realize that they are not going to be the saving grace of their child. Someone somewhere else is going to be the one that wrap them up. Somebody else, even though the parent is going to say the exact same thing that this other brother or sister or mentor is going to tell them,
right,
the kid is going to listen to that person versus the parent. And we have to understand it, because we all, it's just, you can tell them don't go in there, there's a shark, and we're going to do it. But somebody else says it, don't go in there, there's a shark. Oh, thank you very much, I'm not going to go in there. And you're like, I just said the same thing. But once we realize that, and parents realize that, and that will help out a lot. And another thing that would help out is, you know, working with kids is really not for everyone. Mm-hmm. And it's a full-time thing. It's not a part-time thing. You can't just come in and check the block and say, I try to help somebody. You know, it's like being a police officer. It's not for everybody, you know. Being a military is not for everybody.
Right.
It's like just certain things is just not for everybody. And you can't just go in there and be a check the blocker, because when you do that, you can really mess things up. You can mess the kid up. You can mess up the whole process. And then it just makes things a lot harder.
So EJ, how do you envision your role in God's plan going forward? And what opportunities do you see for us to make a positive impact in the world?
Well, I pray that we can reach the world. We've been all over the world, and but as far as right here where we're at, looking for the future, if God allows it and gives me a couple more years, and then I'm in my 60s, you know, not right now, but you know, I'm and I plan on just keep on going until I can't no more, you know. And the plan for the future is, you know, I got some little 8-year-old kids in day school, and man, I can't wait to see them up there preaching at the pulpit, you know, while I'm in my little walker or wheelchair, whatever is happening at the time in my life, in my cane, whatever, in my old age, you know. And let them just preach to me. I don't care, you know, do whatever. That's the future, you know, until we make it to heaven, you know.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
The work of loving souls is never done. There's always another soul that needs help. To be involved in this labor means getting up every day with the mindset to continue to pour out our life for someone in need. You can see why God sent this man through the school of being a physical soldier to develop that mindset in him before he sent EJ to help young people. It would be easy to get discouraged and quit after a while, but true soldiers don't know the word quit. Christian soldiers just keep marching on because our captain keeps marching ahead of us. If we get weary, we just have to look ahead of us to the man with the nail prints in his hands and realize that he isn't asking anything of us that he hasn't already been through. He's saying, "Onward, Christian soldiers, pick up your pack and follow me. There is a world waiting to see love in action, so let's go show them." EJ's testimony is almost over, but let's hear the last question that Caleb and Carlos asked him about helping the youth.
EJ, throughout your life, it seems you've always been protecting, always been having that role as gathering the young mind and people to a greater cause, the calling of God. How would you encourage our listeners someone who may be listening who has a kid or knows a kid in their church, and how would you encourage them to also follow your footsteps as guiding those minds to answering the call of God?
Well, one thing that I would say really helped, and the pastor, he said this, just play with the kids, just listen to the kids, just be there for the kids, and they'll listen, you know, they'll tell you things, they'll divulge information, they'll plead their case to you, and when you get that information, don't push church, don't push reading your Bible, don't push prayer, don't push it, you know, because when you try to push, then they're going to push back, and then they're not going to want to do that, you know. Let your light shine. Let them see that you can do fun things and make the time to read, to pray, to go to church, to serve God, to do good. And when they see that and they'll follow that, and then it'll build from there. And let the preacher be the preacher, let the pastor be the pastor, and we just need to be the right people to encourage them to come and listen to the preacher, and listen to the pastors, and to read the Bible, and just we as adults, as a community, need to remember that. I mean, I was in my 30s when I came to church and got saved, so it took me 30 some years to come to church and get saved, so as an adult, so why are we gonna forget that and try to tell a 15-year-old to get saved and read your Bible and everything when it took you 30 years to do it? You know, why don't push it on them, because then they're going to kick against it, you know, and then it's not going to be the thing that they want. So we need to remember that we came at a late age. Mm-hmm. We may have had church growing up. We may have not had church growing up. We can't use it as an excuse that, well, I didn't have what you have. You know, that's not, you can't do that. And, when they see that, when we as a community can do that, and then they won't see the hypocrisy, they won't feel like it's a double standard, and we take away, by doing that, we take away any excuse then. And we just gotta guide them and direct them, you know, from there. And I think that will help them, everybody out in general.
Wow. Real love. Mm-hmm.
EJ gives us a good strategy in dealing with young people. Don't try to win the war in one battle. We're fighting for their soul, but that struggle isn't won in a day. Love them, let your light shine, and let them be kids. If we take the long-term approach instead of looking for results to validate us, they will develop into productive young men and women with a moral compass to guide them. We will get hurt along the way, but that is the path that Jesus walked and the one he bids us to follow. Let us allow our love to flow, regardless of if some get spilled, because no act of love is ever wasted. And who knows if perhaps our actions will make a difference in the life of one. Join us next week as we continue this series of testimonies of Christian soldiers who were witnesses in the armed forces.
When I got out there, I saw this young man laying on the ground, shot in the head, bleeding really bad, but I knew he was gone. His dad was laying next to him, and he was in excruciating pain, and he was just screaming out in so much pain, he didn't even know his son was gone. But I knew at that moment, something came alive at that point where I knew that I needed to help children. I didn't understand it at the time, but it was a very powerful moment for me.
Join us next week on The Witnesses.